الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. This is the opening lecture for the seminar that has been announced, titled مجالس الآخرة قراءات في سير أعلام النبلاء. Gatherings of the hereafter, readings in the biographies of the eminent and noble scholars. Majalis al-akhira, gatherings of the hereafter. The title for this seminar has been inspired by a narration that is found in this work, in the biography of Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and it's found in the work Sir A'lam al-Nubala. And Abu Dawood al-Sijistani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, sahibu Sunan Abi Dawood, he was one of the greatest students. He was one of the greatest students of Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahumullahu ta'ala. Abu Dawood, rahimahullah, he narrates about the gatherings of his teacher, yani Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he said, كانت مجالس أحمد مجالس الآخرة. He said that the gatherings of Ahmad, they were the gatherings of the hereafter. They were the gatherings of the hereafter. لا يذكر فيها شيء من أمر الدنيا. He said nothing was mentioned in those gatherings about the affairs of the worldly life. Nothing was mentioned in those gatherings, any of the gatherings of Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala, nothing was mentioned in them from the affairs of the worldly life. ما رأيته ذكر الدنيا قط. Abu Dawood, he said, rahimahullah, I never saw him one time mentioning the worldly affair. And he mentioning the worldly affair for the sake of the worldly affair. But to mention the affairs of the dunya in order to understand the rulings and that which is permissible and impermissible in reality is mentioning the akhirah and the hereafter. So that means that the intention of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, which is apparent from the gatherings that he had, was the hereafter. The pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to reach him and to his Jannah in the hereafter. So following in this is what we hope that these gatherings will be like, gatherings from the hereafter, gatherings that will be a means to remember Allah Azza wa Jal and to remember his promise of paradise and mercy and pleasure for those who are obedient to him, for those who believe in him and are obedient to him and follow his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise a means to take heed and reprimand and to fear Allah and to fear his threat and his punishment for those who disbelieve in him or turn away from him in rebellion and disobey him subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are threatened with his anger and with the fire. The gatherings of the hereafter. So in this here and in this title is an indication for each and every one of us to review his heart and to review his intention and to know that he is going back to Allah Azza wa Jal, and the only thing that will benefit him whenever he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a heart that is pure and a heart that is clean, an intention that is seeking the pleasure of Allah alone, and actions that are based upon the legislation of Al-Islam and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Yani on the day, meaning the day of resurrection, that no wealth and no child or no children will benefit a person whatsoever. The only thing that will benefit is a sound heart, a heart that is free from shirk and paganism and polytheism, and a heart that is free of disbelief and hypocrisy, and a heart that is free of preference of this life and deception of the worldly affair. a heart that is full of the love of Allah and the preference of that, and the love of what Allah loves and whom Allah loves, and the love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a heart that is full of it, tawheed, this is what will benefit. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And the actions are based upon the intentions. The actions, they are based upon the intention. And everybody, they will have what they had intended. And every individual, he will have what he has intended. مَجَالِسَ الْآخِرَةِ. So therefore we gather in a house from the houses of Allah to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember His greatness and His authority and His command, and to remember His legislation and His deen and His path that leads to Him, and to remember His promise and His paradise and His Jannah and His aid and His help for those who believe in Him and those who follow Him and obey Him, to remember His noble Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and His noble and upright conduct and manners, in order to be upon that way, in order to be upon clarity and goodness in this life and in the hereafter. Majalis al-akhirah, gatherings of the hereafter. These gatherings, they are gatherings that they are, by the grace of Allah and His mercy, a means for the life of the heart. They are a means for the life of the heart. And the heart comes to life from the likes of these gatherings, where the Book of Allah is recited and explained and interpreted and clarified, and where the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in detail, and the rulings of the halal and the haram are mentioned and clarified, and likewise the biographies of the noble and the righteous, and the aid that they had from Allah azza wa jalla, and the success that they were given over their enemies and the likes, and the efforts that they put forth, and the level and status of what they were upon from worship and sincerity and from striving to seek knowledge, so on and so forth. These are from the great means to rectify oneself and to rectify one's soul and to revive one's faith and to purify one's heart, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, so the gatherings in the masajid, the gatherings of Ahl Sunnah, they are gatherings that will bring the heart to life by the permission of Allah azza wa jal, by the permission of Allah azza wa jal. And like this, it has been narrated from Anas radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَادِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا, that if you pass by the gardens of paradise, then partake therein and enjoy. فَارْتَعُوا, yani enjoy. Enjoy. If you pass by Riyadh al-Jannah, the gardens of paradise, then enjoy. At this time, the companions, قَالُوا, they said, radiallahu anhum, وَمَا رِيَادُ الْجَنَّةِ, and what are the gardens of paradise? And the gardens of paradise that you're speaking of and referring to, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger, he said, قَالِ حِلَقُ الذِّكْرِ, حِلَقُ الذِّكْرِ, the circles of remembrance. The circles of remembrance, meaning the circles of knowledge, the circles where the remembrance of Allah azza wa jalla is mentioned and His tawheed is being taught and spread and clarified, and the path that leads to Him is mentioned and clarified in detail. And this is the gardens of paradise for the righteous. And we see because of this, many of the people of knowledge, the scholars of hadith particularly, whenever they author works, many times they will name their works with the likes of these names. And from the most famous of that is that famous scholar and that famous work of his that we all know. And the scholar, he is An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, and that great work, Riyadh al-Salihin, gardens of the righteous, Riyadh al-Salihin, a very famous book that we're all aware of. But if a person, he were to open that book, he will find nothing but chapter titles, and then after that, verses from the Book of Allah, followed by hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is because in studying and learning the tawheed of Allah azza wa jal, and in learning the biography and the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in learning that which is pleasing to Allah in creed and speech and action and deed, this is a means for the heart to find peace and contentment and to fulfill the purpose why it was created, and that is to submit to Allah upon knowledge and insight, and to know Allah azza wa jal by His tawheed, and to surrender to Him and to submit to Him according to His legislation. And this is from studying and learning the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, even before that, and Nawawi, he died in 676. There was another great scholar, just examples, Ibn Hibban al-Busti, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 354. He has a great work likewise called Rawdatul Uqada, the Garden of the Intelligent. And it's all about yani manners and conduct. And it's based upon the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there are a number of works that have yani this meaning, referring to knowledge as gardens of bliss and gardens of paradise and gardens of happiness and joy. And this is because a believer, whenever he is sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal, he will find joy and happiness and peace and contentment in learning about Him and in knowing Him and having knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal and knowing Him from His signs and His evidences and proofs in His book and likewise in His creation, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knowing Him by His legislation and by sincere worship and surrender and submission, a believer, he can have life and he can revive his faith and he can find joy and happiness and tranquility and contentment in this life. And this is the good life, even before the hereafter. And because of this, many of the Salaf, and from the scholars of Hadith and from those who busy themselves with the legislative knowledge, they would make statements and they would say, إِنَّهُ لَيَمُرُّ بِالْقَلْبِ أَوْقَاتٌ أَقُولُ فِيهَا إِنْ كَانَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مِثْلِ هَذَا إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي عَيْشٍ طَيِّبٍ. That he would say that, or one of them would say that, verily there will be times in my life that would pass, times will pass by me, yani, and I would say that if the people in Jannah are in the likes of this pleasure and delight that I'm finding now, then verily they're in a good life. Then verily they're in a good life, meaning from the happiness and the joy that they will find in their heart from sincere faith and obedience to Allah and from sincere trust and reliance and hope in the pleasure of Allah and the fear of Allah, that they would find themselves in situations that they would be at a great level of peace and safety and happiness and joy in their heart and contentment. And one of them would say, even if the people in Jannah are feeling this, then they're in a great state of happiness. But no doubt the people in paradise, they're in a delight that cannot even be perceived, even greater than that. But the point is that the people of knowledge, they mentioned that there's a Jannah in this life before the Jannah of the hereafter. And it's been narrated from Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he narrated on his shaykh, yani shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, that he mentioned that inna fid dunya Jannah. Inna fid dunya Jannatan, hiya fid dunya kal Jannati fil Akhirah. That verily in this life there's a paradise. And in this life it's like the paradise of the hereafter. And either in this life there's a Jannah. And before the hereafter. And compared to this life, then this Jannah in this life is like the Jannah of the hereafter. And the happiness and the joy that one will find in the paradise in the hereafter, then the comparison to that in this life is a Jannah that he's speaking of. And this is a Jannah that is found in the heart. And it is based upon beneficial knowledge and sincere faith. And he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that فَمَنْ دَخَلَهَا دَخَلَ تِلْكَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَدْخُلْهَا لَمْ يَدْخُلْ جَنَّةِ الْآخِرَةِ. That whoever enters this Jannah, any meaning in this life, then he will enter that Jannah, meaning in the hereafter. And whoever does not enter into the Jannah in this life, then he will not enter the Jannah of the hereafter. Then he will not enter the Jannah of the hereafter. And meaning the Jannah of sincere faith and obedience and submission and surrender and love and preference for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which He has commanded. A believer, he will find a good life in this manner. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has promised in His book. Whenever He said, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. That whoever works righteous deeds while he's a believer, whether he's a male or a female, and we pay attention to that. Many times Allah Azza wa Jalla, He will mention the male and the females are included. But a number of times in the book of Allah, He will specify the mention of the male and the female. And to draw the attention to the people, that this is not specific to the male, but rather the male and the female. That whoever believes and works righteous deeds, لَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. That verily will cause him to live a good life. A good life. A good life in this life. And a good life in the grave, and in the barzakh, and likewise a good life in the hereafter. in all three affairs. And whoever does not enter into this good life in this life, then this life for him is nar. And this life for him is a means of torment and torture. And this life for him is a calamity and pain and retribution. And likewise, the hereafter is worse. So therefore, a believer, he will take these gatherings seriously, and he will benefit from them, sitting in the masajid of Ahl Sunnah, and sitting with the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge, and reviewing the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which the best of this ummah was upon from the Salaf Salih, beginning with the companions radiyallahu anhum, and after that the tabi'een and atba' tabi'een. To emphasize the issue that it's not specific to men, any this jannah that one can find in their heart, and the benefit that one will find, and the delight that one will find in the gatherings of knowledge, it has been collected by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullahu ta'ala in his book Tariq Madinat al-Salam, yani Tariq Baghdad, a great book of biographies of the great scholars who had come to Baghdad, yani until his day. He died in the year 463, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And in those days, Baghdad was a great markez and center for knowledge and for the spread of the sunnah for many years, alhamdulillah. And in this work, he mentioned the biography of Khadija. Khadija Umm Muhammad. Khadija Umm Muhammad. And this particular woman, may Allah have mercy on her, she was from the students of Imam Ahmed. She was from the students of Imam Ahmed. And she used to come to him and study with him and benefit from him. And he would narrate to her. And he would narrate to her, rahimahum Allah. And likewise from her students, the son, Abdullah, the son of Imam Ahmed. And he, so to know that seeking knowledge and gaining knowledge and teaching knowledge is not specific to men. And this is their specialty. And they are those who prevail in that, and they are the majority, no doubt. But likewise, in this affair, there's a place for the woman, and a right for her, and rather an obligation for her to learn and to benefit her sister specifically. But here in this narration, we see that this Jannah in this life is not specific to the men. And Khatib, he mentioned with his chain, rahimahullahu ta'ala, to the son of Imam Ahmed. His name is Abdullah ibn al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahum Allah ta'ala. He said, حدثتني خديجة أم محمد سنة 26 و200. He said, Khadija, Umm Muhammad narrated to me in the year 226. وَكَانَتْ تَجِيُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِي تَسْمَعُ مِنْهُ وَيُحَدِّثُهَا. And she used to come to my father. She used to come to my father, and she would learn from him, and he would narrate to her. Qalat, and she mentions now, and we see the beautiful affair here, that even Khatib, he mentioned with his chain to Abdullah ibn al-Imam Ahmed. And now Abdullah ibn Ahmed, he's narrating on his sheikh, rather sheikha, here, this female scholar. And now she mentions Haddathana Ishaq al-Azraq, Qala Haddathana al-Mas'udi, and Aun ibn Abdullahi, Qala kunna najlisu inna, كُنَّا نَجْلِسُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّ الدَّرْدَىٰ. So she says that Ishaq al-Azraq narrated to us, that al-Mas'udi narrated to them, that Aun ibn Abdullah, he mentioned that one time we were sitting with al-Darda. That one time we were sitting with al-Darda. Al-Darda, there's two of them. Yani there's one known as al-Darda al-Kubra and al-Darda al-Sughra. Al-Kubra, yani from Wallahu Adam, she had suhba, and al-Sughra, she was from the Tabi'een. She was from the Tabi'een. And this is the one being referred to here. So Aun ibn Abdullah, he's mentioning that they used to go to her. كُنَّا نَجْلِسُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّ الدَّرْدَىٰ فَنَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهَا. We used to go to her and mention Allah and remember Allah with her. Yani meaning they would go to her and learn and study the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَقَالُوا لَعَلَّنَا قَدْ أَمْلَلْنَاكِ. So they said to her one day, yani after their studying, yani maybe we have tired you or caused you to become bored. Maybe we have tired you or caused you to become bored. And sometimes this will happen because a student, Yani, if he's diligent, he will be with his teacher, and he will ask him, and he will go over, review the knowledge, and he will have energy, and he will be encouraged, and he would ask, and he would ask, and he would ask, and maybe he will feel shy that he's making the teacher tired, or busy, or wearing them out, or making them bored in their lives like this. So this is what they presented to her. They said, "La'alana amlanaki. Perhaps we have tired you or caused you to become bored." Qalat, she said, "Taz'umuna annakum amlaltumuni. You're all claiming that you caused me to become bored." She says, "Faqad talabtu al-ibadata fi kulli shay." She said to them, you're claiming that you're making me bored here. We're talking, having gatherings of knowledge, and you're asking about the deen of Allah. You're claiming that you're making me bored or tired of this affair. She said, "Verily, I sought after ibadah, sincere worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla in every aspect. فَمَا وَجَدْتُ شَيْئًا أَشْفَى لِصَدْرِي وَلَا أَحْرَى أَنْ أُصِيبَ بِهِ الَّذِي أُرِيدُ مِنْ مَجَالِسِ الذِّكْرِ." She said, "I have sought ibadah, and I have looked for worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla in every aspect, and I have not found anything that cures my heart better, that will cure my heart better and bring me that which I hope to obtain. I have not found anything better than majalis al-dhikr, than the gatherings of knowledge. Meaning that a person sometimes will pray the non-obligatory prayer, or he'll fast a non-obligatory fast, and maybe he will find khushu there, and maybe he will find delight there. But others, they will sit in the gatherings of knowledge, and they will review the books of the Salaf, and they will listen to the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is where they find their heart, and this is where they find contentment and satisfaction, and this is where they find peace and joy. And this is how this woman was, rahimahallahu ta'ala, that I've sought ibadah in every issue, and I have never found anything that is more delightful for me, yani, and more better for my heart than the gatherings of knowledge. So the gatherings of knowledge, this is a benefit for the male and the female, and a delight for a believer who is sincere in seeking knowledge and learning and truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal. He will find great peace and enjoyment, and he will find his heart, yani, and sincerity with Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will benefit greatly from the gatherings of knowledge, especially those gatherings in the masajid. And the people of knowledge, they clarify the meaning of majalis al-dhikr, and this has come in more than one narration. And in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that inna lillahi malaikatan sayara fudula yattabi'una majalis al-dhikr. That verily Allah Azza wa Jalla, he has angels, that they're extra. Yani, they're extra angels, meaning not from those angels that are entrusted to any other deeds. The only thing that they do is they go through the land. They're called sayara. They go through the land and they search for the gatherings of dhikr. And they search for the gatherings of remembrance. And Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise, he has mentioned about the gatherings of dhikr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he boasts in a manner befitting his majesty, yubahi bihim al-malaika, that those who gather in those gatherings of knowledge and the gatherings of dhikr, that Allah, he makes mubahat, yani, and boasting and praising those in that gathering to the angels. And all of this is affirmed on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it's very important to be concerned with these affairs. And one should not think that majalis al-dhikr, the gatherings of the dhikr, is just a gathering where people will sit around and say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, allahu akbar, and the likes like this. But what is intended by the gatherings of dhikr and the gatherings of remembrance are the gatherings where the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being taught and clarified. And this has come from Atta' al-Khurasani, from the Tabi'een, rahimahallahu ta'ala. He mentioned majalis al-dhikr, hiya majalis al-halali wal-haram. Majalis al-dhikr, hiya majalis al-halali wal-haram. That the gatherings of remembrance, they're the gatherings of the halal and the haram. The gatherings of the halal and the haram. Yani, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To remember Allah, and he is more than one type. and need to remember him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with one's tongue and one's heart, and to praise him and to say subhanallah. No doubt this is from the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. But likewise, to remember his promise and his meeting, and to remember that which he has made halal and that which he has made haram, and to apply that. Yani, this is from the greatest of the remembrance of Allah. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the return to him, and to remember that which is allowed and pleasing to him, and to remember that which is haram and displeasing to him, and to act accordingly. This is from the greatest of the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So one will remember Allah with his tongue, and he will remember Allah Azza wa Jal praising him with his heart, and likewise he will remember Allah Azza wa Jal in his meeting, and the path that leads to his pleasure, and the paths that lead to his anger, in order to act accordingly. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by remembering his legislation and honoring his deen and his commandments and prohibitions subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Qurtubi al-Muhaddith rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 656. He mentioned majalisul al-dhikr, majalis al-dhikr, the gatherings of remembrance. They are majalis al-ilm wa tathkir, the gatherings of knowledge and the gatherings of admonition. The gatherings of knowledge. What is intended from majalis al-dhikr? Yani the majalis al-akhirah, of the hereafter, the gatherings of knowledge and the gatherings of admonition. وَهِيَ الْمَجَالِسَ الَّتِي يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا كَلَامُ اللَّهِ وَسُنُّةُ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَخْبَارُ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِينَ وَكَلَامُ أَئِمَّةِ الزُّهَادِ الْمُتَقَدِّمِينَ. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the gatherings of remembrance, they are the gatherings of knowledge and the gatherings of admonition. And they are the gatherings where the speech of Allah is mentioned, and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, and the stories of the pious predecessors is mentioned, and likewise the statements of the righteous and pious imams that have preceded. And these are the gatherings of dhikr that are praiseworthy and that are beneficial. The gatherings of the hereafter. The gatherings of the hereafter. Like this, Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a similar affair. He says about majalis al-dhikr, yani majalis al-dhikr, because today we have people, yani they have misunderstood this affair, majalis al-dhikr. They will sit around together and they will make the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal in an innovative manner. And then they will use the likes of these narrations that have come in Sahih Muslim and other than that, praising Majalis al-Dhikr, and then they will make dhikr and adhkar in innovated manners, and they will sit around and do this adhkar and remembrances of Allah Azza wa Jal in a manner that is not known to the Salaf al-Salih. So we see that what is intended here, Majalis al-Dhikr, Majalis yani of knowledge, the gatherings of knowledge where the book is clarified, the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise the stories of the salaf are mentioned. All of this is included. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he says, qala ahlul ilmi, the people of knowledge, they say, hilaku al-dhikr, yani in that in the narration that has preceded, the riyadul jannah, what are they? Hilaku al-dhikr, gatherings or circles of dhikr, of remembrance. Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala says the people of knowledge, they say that these circles of dhikr, they are here al-majalis allati yutla fiha kitabullah wa hadithu rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the gatherings, the circles of dhikr. What is intended here? The people of knowledge, they say, they are the gatherings where the book of Allah is recited and the narrations of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are mentioned. وَيُبَيَّنُ فِيهَا مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لِعِبَادِهِ وَمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَا يَتَصِلُ بِذَلِكَ مِنْ تَفَاصِيلِ أَحْكَامِ الشَّرِيعَةِ وَبَيَانِ أَنْوَاعِهَا وَمُتَعَلَّقَاتِهَا. He said, and likewise, those gatherings that which Allah has made permissible and halal are clarified, and that which Allah has made haram and impermissible are clarified, and that which is related to this from the details of the Islamic legislation and the rulings of the legislation, and that which is clarified in this. And he said, these are the majalis al-dhikr, and these are the hilaq al-dhikr wa halaqat al-dhikr, the circles of remembrance. Anywhere the book of Allah is studied and recited and clarified, along with the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh Ibn Baz, now he advises and he says, فَاغْتَنِمُوا رَحِمَكُمُ اللَّهِ مَجَالِسَ الذِّكْرِ. So therefore take advantage, May Allah have mercy on you. The gatherings of dhikr, وَعَظِّمُوا الْقُرْآنَ وَالْأَحَادِيثِ وَعْمَلُوا بِمَا تَسْتَفِيدُونَ مِنْهَا. And you should magnify and honor and revere and respect the Quran and the narrations, and you should apply that which you benefit from this affair, and from these gatherings. وَاسْأَلُوا عَمَّا أَشْكَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ لِتَعْرِفُوا الْحَقَّ بِدَلِيلِهِ فَتَعْمَلُوا بِهِ وَتَعْرِفُوا الْبَاطِلَ بِدَلِيلِهِ فَتَحْذَرُوهُ وَتَكُونُوا بِذَلِكَ مِنَ الْفُقَهَاءِ فِي الدِّينِ مِنَ الْفُقَهَاءِ فِي الدِّينِ. He says, so therefore you have to take advantage, may Allah have mercy on you, take advantage of the gatherings of remembrance, the gatherings of knowledge, and glorify, yani, or venerate and honor and respect the Quran and the Hadith, and apply the knowledge that you benefit in those gatherings. Apply the knowledge that you benefit in those gatherings. And whatever is unclear for you, ask and seek the details of that in order for you to know the truth upon clarity with evidence, so you can apply it and live by it. And also so that you can know falsehood with evidence in order to stay away from it. And in this manner, you can be from the people who have knowledge in their religion, the people who have understanding in their religion. And this is great advice from Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullahu ta'ala, to benefit from the likes of this in order to be fuqaha fid deen, so you have understanding in the religion. And then he mentioned the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is muttafiqun alayhi and is well known to all of us. Alhamdulillah, man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fid deen. And whoever Allah wants good for, He will grant him understanding in the religion. And this understanding is sought in the likes of these gatherings, where the Quran is being studied and where the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being clarified, and the biographies of the Salaf al-Salih likewise is being mentioned and being studied and reviewed. So therefore, a believer, he will take advantage of the likes of these affairs, and he will benefit from the gatherings of knowledge, and he will find his heart there, and he will rectify himself. And many times we will find that a person, he will be upon misguidance, or he'll be upon a foul way, or he'll be upon sin, or he'll have misunderstandings in the religion. And then he will sit in the gatherings of knowledge, and he will listen to the book being clarified, and he will listen to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being mentioned, and he will hear, yani, the proper creed and proper belief, and he will benefit in a great manner. He will benefit in a great manner. Maybe a person, he will be upon innovation, or he was raised in an environment upon innovation, or upon misunderstandings in the religion and doubts and the likes like this. And then he will sit with the people of the sunnah and their masajid, and he will hear the proper interpretation with the clarification of evidences, yani, and issues coupled with the proof. And he will see that what he was upon before is falsehood, and he will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding him. And this has happened, yani, to more than one individual. Even it has come, yani, in the books of hadith, and from that it has come in Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Yazid al-Faqir, yani, Imam Muslim, he mentioned with his chain to Yazid al-Faqir rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, كُنْتُ قَدْ شَغَفَنِي رَأْيُ مِنْ رَأْيِ الْخَوَارِجِ. He said that I had been overcome and infatuated with the position of the people of the Khawarij. And he had listened to them, and he had a shubha from them, and he was following their way. And he had become infatuated with that. He believed it was the truth, the opinion of the Khawarij, yani, that the people who commit major sins, they're disbelievers, and they will abide in the fire forever. And so he mentioned here, he said, فَخَرَجْنَا فِي عِصَابَةٍ ذَوِي عَدَدٍ نُرِيدُ أَن نَحُجَّ ثُمَّ نَخْرُجُ عَدَ النَّاسِ. He said, so we left out in a group with lots of numbers, and we wanted to make Hajj. We wanted to make Hajj, and after that, we're going to revolt against the people. And this is what he's saying. So he left his home with a group and a number of people, and the intention is to make Hajj. And after Hajj, they're going to revolt against the people and call to Khuruj and fight the ruler, yani, in Mecca. This is where their intention, and this is why they're leaving their home. He said, فَمَرَرْنَا عَلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. On our way there, we passed by المدينة. فإذا جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما يحدث القوم جالس إلى سارية. Whenever they passed by Medina, he said, we seen Jabir ibn Abdullah رضي الله عنهما, and he's narrating to the people, and he's sitting with his back to a pillar, and in the Prophet's masjid صلى الله عليه وسلم. So at this time, yani, Jabir, he's narrating to them the narration of the Shafa'a, and that there will be individuals who will go into the hellfire, and then there will be intercession for them, and they will come out. And whenever he heard this, of course, he is upon the position of the Khawarij, And they do not believe in the issue of the Shafa'ah. So they asked him about that. And you said, you're telling us that these people were going to the fire and come out. And Allah, He says, إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلَ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ. That whoever, Allah, He says in His book, whoever you enter into the fire, then verily you have disgraced him. And Allah, He says, كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَنْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا. That every time they want to come out of the fire, they will be returned back there into the fire. And He mentioning the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal clarifying that the disbelievers, they will abide in the fire forever. So he had this opinion and this position. And we see here, the issue is that he misunderstood the Qur'an. They're using the Qur'an as an evidence and proof, but they did not have the understanding of the Sahaba, and they were not aware of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this led them to this misunderstanding. So at this time, Jabir, he clarified the issue to him, and he mentioned to him the issue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Maqam al-Mahmud. He said, "Do you read the Quran?" He said, "Of course we read the Quran." He said, "Did you hear about the Maqam al-Mahmud?" Yani in Surah al-Isra. In Surah Al-Isra, Allah, He mentioned this in the book, the praiseworthy status and station that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would have. And he clarified that to him, and he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will make intercession on behalf of individuals who enter the fire and they will come out. And he mentioned that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this, and that they will be burned, and they will be burned crisp, and they will be taken out, and they will be put in a river in the paradise, and they will come to life. And they'll come to life. And he mentioned this narration. At this time, Yazid al-Faqir rahimahullah, he said, "We went back to our people, and to my people, and we started discussing." And they said, "Wayhaka atarawna anna hadha al-shaykh yaklibu ala Rasulillah?" They said, "Do you think that this shaykh is going to lie on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" And they said, "No." He said, "So wallahi, all of us, every one of us, we repented from that way, except for one of them. And the point is, and the benefit is here, that they came with the position of the Khawarij, and they had the intent when they left their home to make Hajj and then to make Khuruj upon the people, and to call them to fighting in the streets and to bloodshed and the likes, and to revolting against the ruler. But whenever they sat in the gathering of Jabir radiallahu anhu, they heard the narrations being clarified and the masail of the deen being mentioned, and they benefited a great benefit, and Allah saved them. And Allah saved them with that. And Allah saved them by the narration and the gathering of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhumah. Likewise, like this, yani a believer, even if he was not upon misguidance, maybe he's upon sin. Maybe he's upon sin. And then he will hear an admonition and reminder. And he will hear the threats of Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in his book and in the Sunnah. And he will hear that, it will enter his heart. And he will benefit, a great benefit, and he will go home and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rectify himself. And likewise, this has been narrated from Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu. He said, إِنَّ رَجُلَ لَيَخْرُجُ مِنْ مَنْزِلِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ مِثْرُ جَبْلِ تِهَامَ. He said that verily a man, he will leave his house and he will have with him sins the size of Mount Tihama, yani a great mountain, and he will have sins on his back. And he sins in his record, and great sins. And he says, فَإِذَا سَمِيَ الْعِلْمَ خَافَ وَرَجَعَ وَتَابَ فَانْصَرَفَ إِلَى مَنْزِلِهِ وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ ذَنْبَ. He said, but if he goes out his home, he leaves in this manner with all of these sins, and then he will hear the knowledge, and he will hear the benefit from the knowledge, and he will fear Allah, and he will repent, and he will seek forgiveness, and he will return home, and he will not have one sin with him whatsoever. He will return home, and he will not have one sin with him whatsoever. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, فَلَا تُفَارِقُوا مَجَارِسَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. So never, never leave the gatherings of the people of knowledge. And because this is a great benefit that a believer, he will find from the gatherings of knowledge. In that narration that is narrated by Muawiyah in Sahih Muslim, radiallahu anhu, he mentioned, he says, إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَرَجَ عَلَى حَلْقَةٍ مِنْ أَسْحَابِهِ فَقَالَ. That verily the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, one day he came out. He came out to his companions, and he seen them in a circle of knowledge. And he said to them, مَا أَجْلَسَكُمْ. Why are you all sitting here? قَالُوا جَلَسْنَا نَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ وَنَحْمَدُهُ عَلَى مَا هَدَانَا لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنَّ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا. They said, we all gathered here to sit and to remember Allah, and to praise Him and to thank Him for guiding us to Islam, and to remember the bounty that He has given us, the bounty of Al-Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this time, he said, Allahumma ajlasakum illa dhak. He said, do you swear by Allah, nothing's brought you together in this gathering except for this issue? And they said, wallahi. They said, wallahi ma ajlasana illa dhak. They said, we swear by Allah, nothing gathered us except this reason. And they didn't gather for any worldly affair. Rather, their gathering was a gathering of al-akhirah. A gathering of akhirah. They came for the sake of Allah. They came to hear the remembrance of Allah. They came to learn the deen of Allah, and be reminded and admonished and to take benefit in their religion and in their deen and take provision that will be a means to aid them reach the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why they came. مَا أَجْلَسَ وَاللَّهِ مَا أَجْلَسَنَا إِلَّا ذَٰلِكَ. We hope to be like that. May Allah give us a beautiful intention. They said, we swear by Allah, nothing caused us or set us here, and He brought us to this gathering except this affair. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this time, he said, أَمَا إِنِّي لَمْ أَسْتَحْلِفْكُمْ تُهْمَةً لَكُمْ. He said, verily, I didn't make you swear or ask you to swear because I'm accusing you. He says, وَلَكِنَّهُ أَتَانِي جِبْرِيلُ فَأَخْبَرَنِي أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَ يُبَاهِي بِكُمْ الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَأَخْبَرَنِي أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَ يُبَاهِي بِكُمْ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. He said, I didn't ask you to swear to me, your reason for coming here, because I was accusing you, but rather what happened was Jibril, he came to me and he told me that Allah is boasting about you to His angels. That Allah is boasting about you, meaning praising you and mentioning their virtue to His angels. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he received this information from Jibril alayhi salam. So now he comes to this gathering. What are they doing? I need to verify what are they doing that earned them this great virtue for Allah azza wa jalla to mention them and to praise them to the angels. So therefore he asked them, nothing else, no other reason whatsoever. They said, no other reason. So this is a great clarification of the virtue of the gatherings of knowledge for those who are sincere and those who are truthful with Allah azza wa jalla. Then these are the gatherings of the hereafter, and they're the gatherings of the angels. The angels that gather and the gatherings of knowledge. So we see from this narration the benefit of gathering, specifically in the masajid, to remember Allah and to remember His bounty and His favors, and to gather to remember the favor of al-Islam and the blessing of al-Islam. And this is a great means to have the pleasure of Allah. And the people they mention, from the wisdom behind the fact that Allah, He praises these people and He mentions them with such goodness amongst His angels, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is because there are many distractions in this life, and there are many avenues a person could be involved in, particularly at this time right now. Many things that a person could be involved in. There are desires and there are whims, and there are delights of this world that are permissible and impermissible that a person he could be involved in. But instead of pursuing those affairs, he has attached his heart to Allah and to the house of Allah, and he has turned away from those whims and those desires and from those lusts, those that are impermissible and even those that are permissible. And he has made time in his life to hear the remembrance of Allah. And he has showed preference to that affair. So we see that the people are tried with lust and desires, but those who can contain their self and instead of running through the land and seeking the desires of this life, they will remain in the masjid, and they will sit there in the gatherings, and they will sit and listen to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal being taught, and the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being clarified, and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the lives like this. These people have shown great preference over the rest of the worldly life, meaning that their gatherings are the gatherings of the hereafter, and they in reality they are the people of the hereafter. So they have left off this worldly life and the beauty of this life, and they have taken refuge in a house from the houses of Allah, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions them with praise amongst His angels. And likewise, He has angels that come that search out these gatherings, and the benefits that have come in the narrations with the likes of these gatherings, that even those people who are not from any of those gatherings, they just come along with them, that Allah, He pardons them also likewise. And it's been mentioned likewise in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and he ended the hadith that we mentioned before, that Allah, He has angels that seek out the gatherings of dhikr. And in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Allah, He asked the angels what He knows best what they're doing. And the angels say, oh, they're remembering you, or they're praising you, and they're sending salat on your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the likes, like this. And they're asking for your Jannah, and they're seeking refuge from the fire, And Allah, he says to them, did they see the Jannah? And he said, no. He said, well, if they had seen the Jannah, what would they do? He said, they would ask you for it even more. They would ask you for it even more. He said, have they seen the fire? They said, no, of course they haven't seen the fire. They said, if they seen the fire, they would seek refuge from the fire even more. What are they asking for? What are they asking for? Allah, he asked the angels. The angels, they say they're asking for your forgiveness. They're asking for your forgiveness. So at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُمْ. Verily, I have forgiven them. فَأَعْطَيْتُهُمْ مَا سَأَلُوا وَأَجَرْتُهُمْ مِمَّا اسْتَجَارُوا. He said, verily, I have forgiven them, and I give them what they ask, and I have protected them from what they fear. And I forgive them, and I give them the Jannah that they request and they're asking for, and I'm protecting them from the fire, and I will save them from the fire that they seek refuge from. So the angels, they say, رَبِّي فِيهِمْ فُلَانٍ عَبْدٌ خَطَّاءٌ. They say, so the angels now, they say, Allah, he said he forgave all of them in the gathering. So the angels, they say, now, oh, our Lord, verily amongst them is so-and-so, and he is a sinful slave. And some narrations that mention he just came, he's not really from them, he's just passing by and sat along with them. And at this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَلَهُ غَفَرْتُ, and him also I have forgiven. هُمُ الْقَوْمُ لَا يَشْخَى مِنْهُمْ جَلِيسُهُمْ. That I have forgiven for him likewise. And he didn't come to benefit from the knowledge, he just sat in their gathering. And then he says, فُلَنْ عَبْدٌ خَطَّاءٌ. And he's a slave, he has many, much sins. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned, verily I forgive him. Likewise, those people there, they are people that, though those who sit with them, they will never be miserable. And they will never experience misery. So just the fact that a person, he comes to the gathering and sits in the gathering, just along with them, even if he is not truly from them, the fact that he joined them, the virtue of those people with Allah Azza wa Jalla, is that he will pardon them likewise. Is that? He will pardon them likewise. These are great encouragements, and to take advantage of the gatherings, the gatherings of knowledge. And so the people of knowledge, they mention from the means of purifying the heart and from the means of rectifying the soul, there are a number of ways. And likewise, from the means of increasing the faith and strengthening the deen, there are a number of ways the people of knowledge, they mention. And because no doubt with Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the iman, it increases and it decreases. But from the ways to increase it. And the best of them, of course, is to learn the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, to ponder and reflect over the creation. And also to learn the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to reflect over his biography sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But also the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, from the means and the great ways, a believer, he will rectify his soul and he will increase his faith and he will strengthen himself in his deen, is by reading the biographies of the pious predecessors. So this is what we embark upon. And to read about the narrations and the lives of some of the eminent and most noble and righteous scholars of al-hadith. And the people of knowledge, they mention, كَرِّرْ عَلَيَّ حَدِيثَهُمْ يَهَادِي فَحَدِيثُهُمْ يَجْلُ الْفُؤَادِ الصَّادِي. And he repeat their narrations to me over and over, O Hadi, because verily their narrations, they cleanse and the blackened heart, and they will purify the blackened heart. So from the benefits of reading in the biographies of the Salaf is that a believer, he will find his heart, and he will see the examples, and he will increase in faith, and he will take the reminder and the admonition, and it will be a means to help him prepare for the hereafter and to get ready for his death. And likewise, it will be a means, Danny, for him to increase his zeal and his concern and his care for being obedient and for being upright, and likewise his care and concern for knowledge and the likes. Whenever one reads what they have been through and what they went through, and from their beneficial statements, he will be reminded, and it will increase him, and it will raise his care and concern for knowledge and for application. And likewise, if a person reads in these biographies, he will see what they are upon from obedience and from piety and from zuhud and wara. And if a person was upon falsehood, he will rectify himself. He'll rectify himself and he'll take admonition and take heed. Likewise, if a person, he was upon khayr, he was upon goodness, and then he read the biographies of the Salaf, and he seen what they were upon from khayr and goodness, he will say to himself, I have not even began, I have not even started. Or if he sees that he has good in knowledge or in learning or in teaching or memorizing, then he reads in the biographies of the Salaf, he will say to himself, SubhanAllah, what have I done for al-Islam? And so he will always benefit in reading in the biographies of the people of knowledge. So this is what we will begin, inshaAllah, in these classes and in this seminar, Majalis al-Akhirah, Qira'atun fi Sir A'lam al-Nubala. And this is the first dawra that we hope that it will be many of them to come with the same title and with the same topic. And the topic is about reading in the work of Al-Hafidh al-Dhahabi, which is titled Sir A'lam al-Nubala, the book where he has collected the biographies of the eminent and noble, well-known scholars, particularly the scholars of Hadith, although there are others along with that. But we will focus upon the biographies of the people of knowledge who were known for narrating, and they were known for Hadith, specifically in these classes, and in those who are known for this affair. And in our next class, inshallah, we'll begin with an introduction that has two parts. And that introduction is about Al-Mu'allif and Al-Mu'allaf, because we're studying a book, and we're studying from a particular book. And so therefore, it's from the right of that, the author of that book, that we mention him. And if we're talking about biographies, then the author of this work, we should begin with his biography, yani, and fulfill that right that he has upon us, Al-Hafidh al-Dhahabi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So this is the first part of the next class in the Muqaddima, the issue with regards to Al-Mu'allif. Al-Mu'allif with Kasr on the Ayn al-Karima, for the brothers in Sarf. Al-Mu'allif, meaning the author. And the Mu'allaf with Fatha on the Ayn al-Karima. Al-Mu'allaf, meaning the book. Meaning the book that we'll be reading from. The book that we'll be reading from. So we'll choose any selected biographies from this work, and they will be summarized, because many times we'll find many, many narrations and many affairs mentioned in these biographies. And our methodology is that we will select those that we select, any from the scholars of Hadith, and we'll summarize them. And we'll summarize their points and read them in order to learn about them and to benefit from their life and to take an admonition and a provision any for the hereafter. So this will be, inshallah, in the next class after Salat al-Isha, with regards to Al-Mu'allif and Al-Mu'allaf. Any questions now, or comments, or corrections from the opening class? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.